We're blessed to have a gym to worship in. We're also blessed to have a band like this. Amen. I'm sure most of you have heard the expression spitting image. Have you heard this? Or is this just a lie? It could be just a Lyman thing. I'm from Lyman and we have some expressions that nobody else has. But have you heard the expression spitting image? As in, often, to use it in context, many people tell me that my son is the spitting image of me. Now, that's a way of saying that he bears a striking resemblance to me, that he looks like me. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'll let you be the judge of that. Okay, he is the spitting image of me. But he doesn't just look like me. I can tell you also that he occasionally acts like me. Much to the chagrin of my wife, Heather, he occasionally acts like me. Sometimes he says words like me. Some of his mannerisms, even the way he walks on occasion, I can see it. He is the spitting image of me. Now, this week I was curious about that expression, spitting image. So I did a little digging because I wanted to know the etymology of that expression. And there's actually a little debate about how that expression came to be. Most commonly, it's thought that that expression is derived from an earlier use of the noun spit, which meant likeness. So spit meant likeness, and which in turn probably came from a proverb. Around 1400, there was a saying, a proverb, and the idea behind that proverb was that when children look so much like one of their parents, but not as much like the other, that the saying was that those children weren't really the result of the combination of genetics, that rather those children who looked exactly like one parent but not the other were spat out of the mouths of the parent they looked like. It's kind of gross, I know, but it's kind of like cloning, saliva cloning, I guess it was. But there's another school of thought about the origin of that expression too. And that school of thought says that the phrase spitting image is actually a derivation of the phrase spirit and image. Spirit and image. As in, that boy is the spirit and image of his father. And that gets at the truth that a lot of times it's not just that our children look like us, that they also act like us. So in that sense, this child is the spirit, acts like, look, is sort of has the being of and the image of their parent. So over time, the thought is that spirit and image kind of morphed into spitting image. Now, I don't know which one of those is accurate, but I can tell you that the last one is really intriguing to me. The idea that spitting image comes from the phrase spirit and image. That's kind of intriguing to me. This child is the spirit and image of her mother, or the spirit and image of his father or his grandfather. Now, all that's on my mind this morning because I've been thinking about this passage. It's actually just two verses that we're going to investigate this morning. We're going to look at two verses from the creation story in the book of Genesis, and it's talking about image, the image of God in us. So I want to dive right into it. This is Genesis chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, you're the spitting image. Can you do that for me? You're the spitting image. And it's interesting timing to be thinking about or looking at this particular passage of Scripture, because this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It's, as Pastor Laura Allen said a little earlier, it's the beginning of our 40-day season of Lent. It's a season where we are reminded that we are finite, we're mortal. In fact, we will gather here on Ash Wednesday and we'll have this sludge of ash and oil smeared on our foreheads. And as that's being done, we'll hear the words, "You are dust, and to dust you will return." It's a reminder that we are finite, that our lives will come to an end. It's also a reminder that this stain, this sludge on our foreheads, it is a reminder of our brokenness, of our sinfulness. Because it's not just the ash that stains our forehead. Our lives are stained and tainted by our sin. And that's a whole lot harder to wash off than a little bit of ash on our foreheads. Now, it's certainly true that, as our passage from Genesis tells us, we are created in the image and likeness of God, our Creator. But it's also true, and we'll be reminded during the season of Lent, and particularly on Ash Wednesday, that that image, the likeness of God in us, has been blurred. It's been marred by our brokenness and sin. And because of that, we no longer as closely reflect the image, the likeness, and the glory of God that's in us. But our passage this morning from Genesis chapter 1, this passage takes place before all of that. This passage takes place in the creation story before there was sin, before there was a fall. God had just created everything there was. God had just created the whole world, all the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep upon the earth. But then God saw that there was still something missing. And that's when, according to verse 26, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." In the creation story, that wasn't said about any other creature that God had created. None of the birds of the air, none of the fish of the sea, none of the creeping things, none of those, what did Genesis say, had the image of God stamped on them. None of those were created in the image of God. God gets almost to the end of his creative activity in the creation story, and then God says, "You know what? I've created a lot of things, but it's still not finished. There's something missing. I know what I'll do. I'll create humankind. And I'll create humankind in my image so that we can have a relationship. I will make this creature, this creation, different from the rest because I desire a relationship with this one. So I'll create humankind in my image." And that's exactly what God does. Verse 27 says, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." A little bit later in Genesis, God's creative act is described in a little more detail. We learn that the way God created humankind was God first scooped up some dust, and God shaped and formed that dust. And then into that pile of dust, God breathed the breath of life. God's very breath is infused into the lungs of this creature that he's formed out of dust. That word, the Hebrew word that's translated breath, can also be translated spirit. So into this creation, this person who's created in the image of God, God breathes. God instills his spirit into this creature created in his image. It's God's Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in our nostrils, in our lungs, that gives us life. Which made me think about that phrase, the Spirit and image. That we are the Spirit and image of our Creator. The Spirit of God is in us, dwells within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And also, we bear the image and the likeness of our Creator. You're the spitting image of your Creator. Now, I'm just guessing that somebody here this morning needs to hear that. I'm just guessing. God, here's what you need to hear. God Almighty, the same God who created everything there is, the same God who said, let there be light, and there was light, the God who separated the water from the land, the God who flung the stars in their courses, the God who banished disorder and chaos, that same God, with great intentionality, created you in His image and in His likeness to be the storehouse, the temple of the Holy Spirit, God's breath within you. You are the spirit and likeness of God. So whenever doubt creeps in, whenever you start to think that you're not enough, that you're not smart enough, that you're not whatever enough, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find yourself a mirror, and I want you to stand in front of that mirror, and I want you to say to the mirror, to your image, you are the spitting image. You have within you the spirit of the God who created the universe, and you bear His likeness and His image. You are the spitting image. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created with great intentionality to bear the image and likeness and glory of God Almighty. I want you to look in that mirror and say, I am the spitting image. I am someone for whom Jesus died. God loves me that much. I don't know if you've ever doubted, but I don't think I've ever doubted myself as much as I did my freshman year of college. Freshman year of college was a shocker to me. From the time I was a middle schooler, I wanted to go to Wofford College. But when I actually got there, I quickly started to think this was a big mistake. Now, nobody in my family had ever been to college. In fact, many of my family members had never finished high school. And I was just a young man from Lyman, South Carolina. In fact, I really am not from Lyman. I say that because almost nobody knows where Holly Springs is. It's farther out in the country than Lyman, and that's where I'm from. And I grew up in a single-wide mobile home in Holly Springs, South Carolina. And I showed up to freshman orientation at Wofford College as one of like three, maybe four commuters in the whole school. Everybody else lived on campus. I was one of the very few, handful of people who commuted to school. And I remember walking across the parking lot that first week of class and during freshman orientation. I remember walking through the parking lot and seeing Mercedes and BMW and on down the line. And I remember thinking, I am not in Holly Springs anymore. And I remember thinking, I don't belong here. And then classes start. And I'd always done really well in school, but all of a sudden, these professors are using words that nobody in Holly Springs uses. I didn't understand. I didn't follow. And I was intimidated. I was overwhelmed. And quickly, I became convinced that I did not belong, that I was not enough, that I wasn't smart enough, that I wasn't rich enough, that I wasn't whatever enough to be a student at Wofford College. Thankfully, I took a work-study job in the campus ministry office. And every day I got to work closely with the chaplain of Wofford, the Reverend Talmadge Skinner. And if it weren't for him, I probably wouldn't have stayed at Wofford. I wouldn't have made it through. I would have thrown in the towel. But Talmadge Skinner believed in me. He encouraged me. He affirmed me. I don't think I ever told him how I felt at Wofford. I don't think I ever told him how out of place I felt. But I think he knew. I think he knew because he went out of his way to teach me. He taught me about, and we talk about the Old Testament. We talked about the prophets. And he taught me how almost every prophet in the Old Testament was from some faraway, podunk little place that nobody ever thought anything good could come out of. He taught me about those things. And he also taught me that pretty much everything that every person that God used in Scripture, God seemed to be drawn to the people that nobody else would have imagined would be able to do anything. And God would go to those people and call those people and use those people to do things for him. And Reverend Skinner taught me that. And he also was the first one to teach me about the Imago Dei. Imago Dei, I don't know if you know that phrase or not. It's Latin and it means image of God. And Reverend Skinner taught me about the Imago Dei in me. And though he never used these words, he taught me that I am the spitting image, that the image of God, the Spirit of God dwells in me, and that I bear the image of God Almighty. And you do too. Middle schoolers, high school students, college students, everybody, you are the spitting image. The Spirit of God dwells in you, and you bear the image and likeness of God Almighty. I'm the spitting image. You are the spitting image of God. And I hope you never forget that. Because it's true for you, and it's also true for everyone with whom you come into contact. Every single person. With all the nastiness and vitriol in our culture right now, it's kind of easy to forget. It's easy to forget that everyone you come into contact with is someone who is created in the image of God. It seems like we're so quick to apply labels to everybody, particularly anybody who's different from us. We love to categorize people. You're conservative, or you're liberal, or you're a Trump supporter, or you're a Trump hater, or on and on. You're this, you're that. How much different would our world be if all Christians decided that the only label we're ever going to use from here on out, the only label we're going to use from now on is Imago Dei? Whenever we come into contact with somebody, whether they're different from us or whether they're very similar to us, we're going to label them as somebody who is created in the image of God, somebody in whom the very life-giving breath of God dwells, and we're not going to call them anything else except a person created in the image of God. How different would the world be? Now, it could get difficult. For example, when I'm riding down Woodruff Road and somebody cuts me off, I'm going to be a little restricted in how I respond to that for all of a sudden. You cut me off, you person created in the image of God, you... Or in arguments that break out on social media. I really disagree with you, you person that God created in His image, you person for whom Christ died, I really disagree with you. It kind of just takes a little bit of the bite out of the argument, doesn't it? When we have to respond that way. When people gossip about you. When people hurt you. What if we saw those people, first and foremost, as people created in the Imago Dei? When we encounter people who think differently from us or act differently from us, when we encounter people who look different than us, when we come into contact with people who speak English or who speak Spanish, or we come into contact with people who speak Arabic or who speak Hebrew, what if we first and foremost saw that person as somebody who is the spitting image, the Spirit and the image of God Almighty, their Creator? What if in our interactions with people, our default was to look at them and to see a person created in the image of God for whom Christ died? That's our calling, you know. We're called to love. When a Pharisee tried to nail Jesus down and back him in a corner and ask him what the most important commandment in all the Old Testament was, you know what he said? He said, well, actually, I'm going to put two together for you. It's that the most important commandment is that you love God with everything you've got, and that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus really simplified things. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. We're called to see what the world can't see. We're called to look at somebody, even somebody who's very different from us, and see in them the image of the Creator of the universe. And remember that we're all people created in the image of God. A God who is so creative that there's a huge variety in the humanity, the humankind that God created. There's lots of variety. It's not just male and female that He created them, but He created all kinds of different cultures and languages and levels of melanin in people's skin, and every one of them is somebody created in the image of God. You're the spitting image. A few weeks ago, one of our members reached out to me by email and said, "Pastor Michael, you know, with everything going on in the world, with all the animosity and fear, I have really had the Muslim community in Greenville on my heart and mind." She said, "What do you think about this idea? What do you think about reaching out to the Islamic Society here in Greenville? And what would you be okay if I reached out to them and just asked them if they have any projects around the mosque that we might be able to do as a part of our March Mission Madness project?" And I said, "Well, I think that's great. Talk to the March Mission Madness team and then talk to them. Let's see what happens." The report I got back was that they didn't have any work for us to do, but they really appreciated us reaching out and asking. In fact, what they said was, "We'd love to do some sort of service project together with you sometime, whether it be a blood drive or a crop walk or something like that. We'd love to do something with you." And then the fire happened. Now, we received overwhelming support from all kinds of different sectors of our community, churches of all denominations, individuals who reached out, praying for us, encouraging us, supporting us. But one of the first expressions of that support came in the way of flowers for our prayer service the day after the fire from the Islamic Society of Greenville. Fast forward to yesterday. Ann Shelton, our director of children's ministries, and her team rented out a local skating rink yesterday, and all of our children and their parents were invited to come for an outing, fun afternoon of skating. And she said when they arrived at the skating rink, there was already a family there that was obviously waiting for the skating rink to open, completely unaware that we had rented the whole place out. And Ann said, "I could tell by the way they were dressed that they were not an Advent family. In fact, I assumed that they were Muslim." And they didn't realize we had the place rented out, and they were waiting for it to open. So Ann walked over to them, explained the situation, explained that we had rented the place out. But then she invited them to come in and skate. And they did. And when the outing was over, they came up to her and expressed their gratitude for including them. And then they asked her, "Now, what church is this again? What church are you from that would invite us to be a part of this gathering? What church are you from?" And Ann said, "Advent United Methodist Church." And that couple said, "Oh, yeah, our mosque sent you flowers. We're so sorry about your fire." I'm just saying, you're the spitting image. In you dwells the Spirit of a holy God, and you bear the image and likeness of God Almighty. That's true for you, and it's true for everybody you come into contact with. You're the spitting image. Amen.